7:46 at WGCL. Let's check in at the nation's capital with our man on the street, and that is Mr. Smith going to Washington. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Oh, not bad on a Friday. You can't blame Dave for the weather.
No, but he was right, though. He nailed it. He didn't record that spot yesterday. He nailed it. Well, Dave's been around the block a couple times, too, so it's not his first rodeo at all. Chuck is with the National Championship Track and Fields down there in College Station, so it's just you and me this morning, but sunshine. Everybody's feeling good in Hoosier World. We had the game for you last night right here on WGCL. And, Joe, again, I joked with you saying, hey, you better get yourself a new pencil after the Ohio State game. And part of me was joking. I didn't expect Indiana to be able to throw out there. Listen to this. This is a back-to-back 90-point game. It's the first time since 1998. So there was a reason I didn't think you'd need an extra pencil. But forget about what I think. What do you think? The Hoosiers, 90 points, two games in a row, blowout winners yesterday with Iowa, and it's on to the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament.
Well, now, that wasn't bad, was it, on Thursday night? About as good a second half as I can recall, the stakes being what they were, win or go home. Been a while where everything was clicking, especially offensively, and that was induced by the pressure of the press after a slow start to the second half. Coach Tom credited assistant Rob Judson with making some adjustments and away Indiana win. After Iowa quickly wiped away a 43-40 halftime lead early on in the second, different Hoosiers stepping up last night helped get the job done in what turned out to be a blowout Thursday night 95-73 win to advance to tonight's quarterfinals against old nemesis Wisconsin, the two seed. Indeed, the Hoosiers turned up the pressure the second half, outscoring the Hawks 52-33, shooting 6-0-3 from the field, its best firing clip since December, but no one was any hotter than James Blackman Jr., who scored 18 of his 23 in the second half, hitting all five of his shots and all of his three-point shots. He had 12 of the Hoosiers' first 22 in the second half as Indiana jumped to its largest double-digit lead of the night at 65-52. And then after a Thomas Bryant run the floor deuce, the run was 14-2 at the 12:27 mark, and the lead was up to 15, and the rout was on big time. See you later. Indiana hit 6 of 8 from behind the line on the night in the second half, 12 of 20 for the game, 60%. That was its best three-point shooting percentage of the year. Well, you know, better late than never, huh? Different guys again, assuming the defensive roles, shutting off Jordan Bohannon, who had only 9 points after intermission after dialing in 5 three-pointers the first 20. Bohannon had 24 on the night and completed his double with 10 assists. But the Big Ten's leading scorer, Peter Jock, never got rolling. He was held to only 9 points, 1 of 4 shooting the second half. Although the Hoosiers coughed it up 8 times in the second half, and many of them came late, Indiana received 18 points last night off turnovers, but gave up 22, and certainly that won't be allowable tonight against the Badgers, who figure to throw a defensive noose around Indiana, especially in lieu of how they shot and how they played offensively running the floor last night. The Badgers obviously had taken the last two from Indiana. They swept the regular season meetings, home and away. Indiana in those two games had a total of 28 turnovers, and the Badgers have scored 39 points off of those mistakes. So, bench last night unloaded 35 points, third highest total of the year. Deron Davis, well, he didn't miss anything and hitting a career number. We'll talk more about that. Continue to go inside the numbers and preview more of the Wisconsin ball game tonight. Quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament at 6:30, a little bit later this morning from D.C.
And Joe, let's not forget, we've got a big, 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 big basketball game tomorrow morning as well. The game won't start tomorrow morning, but the coverage sure will.
Yeah, obviously now with Indiana winning, Terry Stoltz will be stepping to the plate, as he did with John, and they'll have all the action from Barney Scott Gym tomorrow at noon, starting at 11:30 with the Chalk Talk Show, which I did with JR before I left. So some candid comments from the the Hall of Fame coach, as always, very entertaining. And, of course, South Glass looking to, they're on a bit of a revenge tour themselves.
That's
so
right.
We got one on the collegiate beat and one on the high school beat. Castle beat them by 8 during the regular season. And should they be fortunate to beat the Knights, most likely they'll catch New Albany, who beat them in game 2 of the regular season earlier today. And we're hoping that that's for a regional championship Saturday night at 8. Tickets, by the way, $10, final day of sale. They'll be on sale. They're on sale right now in the athletic office until 2:30 today.
And the Hoosiers, Joe, gave up 100 free throws the last time they played Iowa. Indiana didn't settle for jump shots in this game. They attacked the Hawkeyes' young front court and really had a nice balance from three-point line to getting the ball for dunks and layups
and
everything else.
As you mentioned to off the air, Glass, and you mentioned it on the air earlier today, very economical was Indiana. I mean, you know, Blackman takes only 9 shots, and of the 9 guys that played, he shot the most, but no one shot more than that. So 35 of 58, doable, 60% on the on the ball game, and nearly 68% in the second half. Wow.
12 of 20 from the three-point stripe arc. Very nice. And the other number in there that jumps out, they had 17 turnovers, but they had 1 turnover in the second half with 8 minutes to go. So forget about those late turnovers. But that's the point. The point was when it was winning time, and we always talk about winning time, they played really well. I don't care what happened in the last 5 minutes when you're up 27 points. If you're dribbling off your foot, nobody cares. You've earned that right. You've earned the right to screw up at that point. And the Hoosiers have also earned 40 more minutes against Bucky Badger. We'll talk about Bucky coming back at 8:45. But, Joe, it's just not a matchup that – we can go back. How long do you want to go back? How far do we have to go back? It's just every time we play them, it's always 2 in this, and we 2 in 17. Yeah. And
they have a way of exploiting and finding weaknesses, you know, no matter who's coaching over there, guard now or as
Bo.
It was before with what you call it.
Bo Ryan. Bo. But the one advantage, and the advantage the top 4 teams have is the double bye. They get extra rest. The advantage Indiana's going to have is they've seen the ball go through the basket at the Verizon Center.
Yes.
And, again, it's not – there's a reason they had 11 conference losses. I get that. But you got to take what you're given, and they made the most out of it yesterday, and that's what makes tonight exciting. 6:30 right here on the airways, doubleheader action. Joe, there wasn't one good game in the Big Ten tournament yesterday.
No,
not one.
No.
20-point blowouts.
But I'm glad to be part of that.
You always want to be on the blowing outside, not
yes,
the receiving.
Rather than the victim.
That's exactly right. All right, buddy, get that coffee pot hot it up and going, and we'll get back with you at 8:45 for a preview of Wisconsin. We'll go inside the Iowa numbers as well. And happy days in Hoosier basketball land here on a Big Show Friday.
All righty, we'll see you in a bit.
8:47 at WG Sale. Let's take a little trip ourselves, shall we, to the nation's capital. An audio tour, if you will, with our good friend Joe Smith. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
And good morning, guys. How you doing, Julie?
I'm doing good, Joe. How are you?
Oh, it's a little rainy here in the nation's capital.
It rained here last night when we had a 0% chance of rain, so that was interesting to say the least. Joe, when you come back, and we hope you're not back till Monday morning, we hope it's a party after the tournament championship. But remember to spring your clock forward. 2 a.m. becomes 3 a.m. Sunday morning. So I'd hate for you to miss anything out on that. And make sure you get a nap in today, too, so you can get that hour back.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
The Hoosiers.
No, thanks for that. I forgot all about that.
And I forgot to mention it for a whole hour.
Spring ahead,
Spring forward, fall back. That's right. So we will be doing that coming up again. At 2 a.m. Sunday morning becomes 3 a.m. So whether you do it before you go to bed,
that's right,
you probably should,
gotcha.
or when you wake up, you can have that all covered. Speaking of having it all covered, courtside last night, it was all covered. Indiana 1 through 12, or however many guys that got on the court, Joe, everybody participated and contributed. Another 90-point scoring night, which one on the road and one on a neutral court is absolutely fantastic. But it's just the first step that Indiana has taken, because there is more to do. And Indiana rolls over Iowa 95-73. That gets them 40 more minutes. That gets them a date with Greg Gard's Wisconsin Badgers, the number two seed tonight. Tell us everything we need to know about life in the nation's capital.
Well, you know, one key last night in that blowout win over Iowa, the defensive stops and runouts, which predicated success offensively, and Indiana was dialed in big time. The Hoosiers can be difficult when that happens, and then you add in a good shooting night at a high percentage. Well, that's a prescription for success, like that 95-73 win that we saw over the seventh seed, the Iowa Hawkeyes, last evening. Indiana hit 12 of 20 from behind the line, its best three-point percentage of the year, but its bench productivity went a long ways as well in helping oust the Hawks. A career night for Deron Davis, who hit, well, everything that he shot. He was 7 for 7 and hit his only free throw. 15 points in 14 minutes. Devontae Green continues to get some things done out back. 10 points and 5 rebounds. Heck, Curtis Green, he didn't even play against Ohio State the other day. He came off and had 6 points in 13 minutes. Freddie McSwain, he gets some things done. A couple of late dunks, a steal, and an assist in 9 minutes. So while J.B. Jr. got the offense humming in the second half, scoring 18 of his 23, Blackman also had 8 rebounds, matching Jawan Morgan's number as Indiana won the rebounding battle 38-29. They also got 5 blocks and 11 points from Thomas Bryant, and Morgan also contributed there with 3 blocks of his own. So the revenge tour continues against Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers tonight. Our pregame show on the Compass Media Network will be at 6:15. Indiana's 2-2 against the Badgers all time in this tournament. The Badgers won on the Simon Scott Assembly Hall back in early January, 75-68, despite out shooting and out rebounding him, but the Badgers posted 23 points off of Indiana mistakes. The Hoosiers lost in Madison 65-60 in early February. Again, Indiana held Wisconsin to only 39% shooting from the field, but Ethan Happ and Nigel Hayes combined for 35 points and 17 rebounds, and Bronson Koenig, who can be a pain in the rump, has 28 points in the 2 wins. But the guy I always worry about is Zach Showalter, and his play on the McCracken court back in January certainly keyed the Wisconsin win then when he scored 14 points. So we'll see how things unfold tonight. It's going to face a very good defensive team, and you know, Wisconsin, you know, they're very vulnerable. I mean, it goes without saying, you know, Wisconsin's had Indiana's number. Gosh, they're 17-2 the last 19 games against Indiana, and that's a span of 9 years. But you know, they have stumbled down the stretch. You know, when we played them in Madison in February, they were 20-3 and 9-1. They had entertained thoughts of winning the Big Ten, which they didn't do. They wound up third. Since then, they're only 3-5 coming into this one tonight, and had lost 5 of its 6. But I really was impressed watching them the other day when they dismantled a red-hot Minnesota team in that regular season finale. It just goes to show you what good defense can do against a team that is perking up offensively like Indiana. As you mentioned, Glass scoring 5 and 6 points in the last 2 ball games. So we'll see what happens tonight.
And, Joe, when we get to this point of the year, some will argue that good defense will beat good offense. But, again, Wisconsin not known for perhaps scoring at the clip that Indiana does. So there's the shoe could be on the other foot if the Hoosiers get off to another good start. You saw a 10-point lead in the first half yesterday. Iowa comes back, takes the lead early in the second half. That didn't seem to deter Indiana at all, just like when Ohio State came back. So they have grown a little resiliency. That's absolutely true. And they have to be playing a little bit freer now, knowing that they have to win. There's, I don't think there's anything.
I like the situation. That's a good
point. Well, you don't have a choice,
you know, everything to gain, nothing to lose. I mean, you know, we're not the 2 seed. We're not expected to win this this game, but you got to believe that the Badger faithful are a little bit leery of how, you know, Indiana's won, 3 of the last 4, so.
Right, but you've painted the picture accurately that Wisconsin is very good for a reason. They're in the top 4 in the league for the last 12 years. They shut down a really hot Minnesota team. There are different ways to skin cats and all of that, but Indiana has a chance, Joe. And a week ago at this time, we weren't sure if that was going to be the case on a Friday night in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So there is some positives to take from that. Deron Davis was excellent last night, but I thought the performer of the night was James Blackman Jr. for a couple of reasons. Number one, he didn't score in the first half, but he had five rebounds. So he contributed. He played good defense. He moved the ball. He didn't look like he was sulking or mad that he had it. And then, as you mentioned, he took over in the second half, scoring, 18 of his points or however many it was?
18 of his points in the second half. And you know, he had four assists, a steal, and only one turnover in 32 minutes, and I mentioned the eight rebounds.
Strong.
And he's had that number of times this year.
It just doesn't seem like a big deal. He just grabs all the ones nobody else wants. And away you go on that. Great bench night, as you mentioned. 35 points off the bench? Third best performance of the year. Well, we talked about that yesterday. We said if Indiana, they can't have five starters score 93 points.
Right.
That wasn't going to happen, so they got exactly that recipe. The three ball came back. Hey, welcome back, three-pointer.
Yeah.
And guys that have been lost in the shuffle are making shots. Boy, it reminds you a little bit of last year. All of a sudden, hey, here comes Curtis Jones. Hits his first two threes. Green hits a three. And all of a sudden, you got a 10-point lead, and there's nine of it. So Hoosiers have to win together. They have to defend together. They have to rebound together. And a little bit different opponent tonight, a little bit more veteran team, a little bit more experienced team. And they'll have to earn it, and we're excited to have it on WGCO.
Well, they're the most experienced team in the country, and the postseason has arrived for them. It's not the big show yet, but it's big enough for them. We'll see. Like you suggest, the shooting background, will they play well at Verizon? We'll wait and see. But I like our chances tonight.
If Indiana shoots it well, Joe, you like their chances every night. It's just when they don't shoot it well, that's been the issue. And get their shooting boots shined up this afternoon, and we'll talk to you Monday morning. We know that. That's what we do know. So let's go with that. We'll hear you 7:45, 8:45 on Monday.
And wish the Panthers the best down in Seymour this weekend.
Absolutely. Tickets on sale till 2:30 this afternoon, $10 there. Good stuff as always, Joe.
All righty, guys.